Dr. Patty Peoples, CEO and founder of HealthEconomics.com. In today's Connected Community podcast, we'll talk with two well-known and respected executive recruiters for the health economics and outcomes research arena. This podcast is designed to help individuals get the most out of the upcoming HE Expo Virtual Career Fair, sponsored by HealthEconomics.com. First, I'd like to introduce our two guests. We're joined by Michael Litton and Scott Cabo, both with Klein Hersh International. Klein Hersh is a strategic leadership placement organization dedicated exclusively to recruitment in the life sciences industry. Welcome, Mike and Scott.
Thank you for having us, Patty. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I'm going to start with you, Michael. Can you please tell us a little bit about Klein Hersh and specifically the role that your organization plays in the HEOR strategic leadership placement area?
I would be happy to. So, you know, we've been in business 15 years, and, you know, overall, you know, I'd like to start by saying, you know, one of our greatest areas of differentiation as an organization is we truly are a company of specialists. We don't generalize in any areas. We have over 25 practice areas, and we're actually structured in here very much like a pharmaceutical company in the sense that our practices are built from discovery and preclinical, you know, through the entire drug development, life cycle, launch, post-market. You know, as you have introduced, you know, Scott and I head up our HEOR practice, and you know, within that world, you know, at the end of the day, there's kind of two things that, or two ways to outline this. On the candidate side, you know, for us in the way that we operate, it's all about, you know, who can obtain that competitive advantage in the interview process. And, you know, a good recruiter should be doing a lot more than just calling about a job. You know, we put a lot of time into talking to our hiring managers and our clients to specifically gain insight from them that we can then bring back to our candidates to make sure they're as prepared as they can be as they go through the process. And, you know, when you talk about competitive advantage, you know, if you're interviewing against three or four other candidates and you have information that clearly is coming from the hiring manager that is clearly not on a job description, you know, we're going to provide a lot of that.
Scott, what three pieces of advice can you offer job seekers as they prepare for a career fair?
Your preparation and your due diligence are ultimately what will help to separate you from the rest of the crowd. You want to make sure that you're prepared in the sense of knowing who will be present, what organizations are going to be there, what openings do you see. Have these organizations listed specific job postings on their website or through the career fair setup? You want to prepare yourself in the sense of reviewing specific job descriptions and figuring out and putting together some scripts behind ultimately why you're going to be a great fit for them. You want to be prepared to be really strategic in your approach and really be able to be ready to discuss a lot of the most relevant aspects of your background as they're going to relate to what the company is looking for based upon what you've read from their job descriptions. And if you're not totally sure what the company is looking for, it's important that you ask qualifying questions, and that can sound something like, you know, in your opinion, what type of background, skill set, personality do you feel would be most successful in this position? The art of an interview is really your ability to ask questions and engage in dialogue. You want it to be as back and forth as possible. In addition to that, really spending the time to do some research on the organization. You want to make sure to take a look at their organization, see if there have been any major press releases, see if there's been any information released on potential blockbuster drugs for them or anything within their portfolio or in their pipeline. And the other thing that I'll mention too is really have an agenda. You know, what are you looking to get out of the career fair? And within a virtual setting, you know, the nice thing here is that you can really take as many notes as you want. And lastly, I would say just prepare yourself with good questions. Be conversational. At the end of the day, you don't want to come off too scripted or sound too robotic. You want to be yourself. Companies want to get a sense of who you are beyond just your HEOR technical capabilities.
Mike, let's turn toward the employer now. What advice would you specifically have for employers as they recruit in career fairs and for recruiting in general?
you know, it really is a lot of the same things that, you know, you would ultimately have a candidate to. You know, when you talk about the search and placement field, it really is all about preparation and not winging anything. You know, they're going to want to interview you as well, and the things they're going to be very interested in are ultimately going to be the organization and, you know, mm-hmm. beyond the job. What's exciting? You know, what's the sizzle at this point in terms of why you should join our organization? So, you know, just some basic things, but again, it all comes down to preparation.
Now, the HEOR Career Fair that's taking place in HE Expo is the first and only virtual arena for the life sciences HEOR audience. It's in a virtual environment as opposed to in-person or at an industry meeting or through LinkedIn, email, or some of the other more traditional avenues. Scott, how can you suggest that prospective job seekers and employers maximize this virtual arena?
This is really something that is truly exciting. This is the first time that we've ever seen this in terms of a virtual career fair, and to have it so targeted within a very specific niche industry like HEOR, I think is going to be beneficial for everyone who can get involved, and I would highly encourage everyone to participate and to pass the information along to their friends, get them involved. It's going to be a little bit different than your typical face-to-face interview. So I think it may be somewhat similar to when you have a little bit of a phone interview with some of these organizations in terms of structure. And I think this is why, if you're a job seeker, you should really know which role ultimately looks like the best fit on paper, which goes back to your preparation and doing a little due diligence, seeing what specific job opportunities companies tend to be advertising. This way you can really steer the conversation towards a specific role and really highlight aspects of your background that are ultimately going to be the most relevant. I think it's also important to really try and get contact information as well. You know, you've got to keep in mind, even if this initial contact doesn't result in a job immediately, you never know what opportunities may surface down the road. And I would tell you, virtually visit as many companies as you can. The more mm-hmm. conversations that you have, the more experience that you will get in terms of interviewing, and ultimately your comfort level will increase as well.
And just as a reminder, the HEOR Career Fair in HE Expo is going to take place January 23rd, 2014, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. This is for both Mike and Scott. Now, we all learn from our mistakes. And Mike, in your long career, what is the most common mistake that you have observed in the interview hiring process?
You know, the best candidates out there are either opportunistic and, you know, won't remain interested in the process if the process doesn't move, or, you know, they're heavily active and, you know, considering multiple opportunities. So, you know, if the process doesn't move along, they're going to have other offers. So for candidates, for me, it's really a matter of, you know, we are very realistic with them from the beginning. You know, for candidates to get the most out of their experience with us and for us to add the most value, it's all about transparency. So just be open, honest, transparent, and, you know, if you tell us our opportunity is your top choice, we're going to, you know, make sure we do our best mm-hmm. to push that forward. But if it's not, you know, that's okay. But
right.
at the end of the day, we need to be fair to our clients as well if that's the mm-hmm. if that's ultimately the case.
What I hear you saying, and it's a tall order, but one that's really important for success, is to come into the relationship with you, their executive recruiter, with their vulnerabilities. Would you agree with that?
I would. I mean, we are in the search profession, but we are in a relationship-driven business, and that is the most important thing. And there are a lot of recruiters out there. I talk to candidates who get 3-4 calls a week from different recruiters, but I know through knowing our market, knowing our competition, there are very few that can ultimately match the tenure and success we've had, and we've built that based on relationship first.
Scott, do you have anything to add to that?
You know, it does also go both ways on the client side of things too. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important that clients share with us where they're at in the process as well. And then just to tap a little bit onto the candidate side, that it is important for them to communicate a level of interest to the organization as well. I think a lot of times at the end of the day, companies want to hire people that are really genuinely excited about their organization and the opportunity. And if you go through an interview process, you want to make sure that you let these individuals know, assuming that you are actually interested, of course, But you do want to let them know and express a level of interest. You don't necessarily need to be jumping up and down. But at the same time, you don't ever want a company to have a debrief at the end of an interview and say something that to the extent of, well, we really like this individual's ability and technical capabilities, but we just didn't get the sense from them that they were interested in us.
Now, for both of you, the health economics outcomes research, market access, reimbursement area, you've been working in that for 8 to 10 years, really observing probably the one of the fastest growth markets of the pharmaceutical industry. And there's still very high demand, as is, I know, one of your growing areas, healthcare analytics. Michael, what can a job seeker do to help their resume stand out in today's marketplace?
We do a lot of counseling around resume structure and, you know, ways to make sure that candidates understand that it's just like anything else in life. People are on the go, they are busy, and nobody is going to spend the time fully reading through a resume and going through every single job, every single bullet. So in terms of structure, what I see to be most efficient is at the top of a resume, you know, an expertise or overall kind of summary of your profile, which includes all of the main buzzwords. And then the other piece I think that's really important is if you've been in shorter-term consulting roles, and so starting to see this more and more, you have whether it be more junior candidates or more senior people who are working with organizations on more shorter-term projects on a contractual basis, and they've done 5 or 6 of these, you have to make that apparent that it's a shorter-term gig, that it wasn't a full-time role, because I see so many resumes of people. I'm like, okay, well, you've held, it looks like you've held 8 jobs in the past 2 years. That's going to be a concern to different organizations. Were you a consultant or a contractor? You know, and if so, you've got to make sure that that's apparent. You just don't want that to be perceived as job hopping when it's absolutely not.
Michael, what's the minimal amount of time that someone needs to have in a job that doesn't raise eyebrows? Is it 1 year or 2 years?
It's probably a year minimum. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, clearly a couple of years is ideal, if not longer. It's just, you know, it's a different market out there where, you know, in the older days, you know, where loyalty meant everything, and, mm-hmm. you know, you'd be at a company and retire there and get a retirement party and a watch. It's not like that anymore. I mean, if you can obtain 3 to 5 years of tenure within an organization, that's considered a pretty long time to be at a company these days. So, but yes, to answer your question, though, a year minimum, less than a year, there's got to be a really good story behind that, which, you know, a lot of times there is. There's a lot of volatility, a lot of mergers, acquisitions, downsizing. There are just things that happen.
And our last question of the podcast, Scott, what can an employer do to make their job attractive to the right candidate today?
A lot of employers just need to remember that as a hiring organization, that they too have to do some selling here. And I think that in a market like HEOR, pricing, reimbursement, access, analytics, where it's so competitive and top talent is not necessarily falling from the sky, you have to be able to sell the company story, the vision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you're really selling the growth opportunity and ultimately selling what the company's commitment is to continued growth, to continued development, and to ultimately the continued success of the HEOR function. What would make someone who's a top performer at one of your competing organizations who's not currently actively looking to make a change, what would motivate them to join your organization?
Well, I want to thank both Michael Litton and Scott Cabo from Klein Hersh International for joining us today for our Connected Community podcast exclusively from healtheconomics.com. If you'd like to interact more with Michael or Scott, please visit their website, kleinhersh.com. That's KLEINHERSH.com. You may also register for the virtual HEOR Career Fair to be held on January 23rd, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time at www.marketplace365.com/HEXPO. I'm Dr. Patty Peoples, and I'd like to thank all of you for joining us today and I look forward to interacting with you again in the future.